This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. It is a Monday morning. Let's see what day we got here. It's the 9th. When you miss Friday, it all kind of comes together. So Monday the 9th, I missed Friday. And Heidi Harris, thanks to her for filling in. I do appreciate that. I just can't seem to shake whatever is going on in my vocal cords, but it's certainly better than it was last Thursday. I just have to tell you, Kim, it was. And you were out last Thursday, not doing well, right?
Yep. My son and I were under the weather. Thankfully, we're better. I was convinced the frog in your throat would be gone by Monday, but I stand corrected.
Yeah, I was too. But that did not happen. And here we are, but we'll work through it. It seems to be getting a little better. It's weird because I've tried all the home remedies. Everybody told me the honey and the lemon and, you know, this and that. I put the Vic salve on and everything, hoping it would clear up. I've taken every over-the-counter drug you can get your hands on and a lot of vitamin C so far. None of that has had any impact. I don't feel bad. I just have some vocal challenges this morning. Let's put it that way. All right, we got lots of stuff to get to for you coming up. Renee Henke is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk about the issue of your kids' personal information being protected. Are there more things school districts could do? And for the ones that haven't done it, the question is, why? Because there's an example now of, you know, an outside organization using the Sunshine Law to get personal information on your children, and Renee doesn't think that's right. We're going to talk to her about that coming up at about 7:35. Next hour, Tom Ackerman in here on that huge win by the Missouri Tigers this weekend over number one ranked Kansas. Their second loss in a row. Yeah. Interesting to see Tommy's take on that and maybe what it means for a Mizzou season, because they're going to have a lot of confidence after this, or they should anyway. All right, right now let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
They're serious about it. Donald Trump may say, you know, they'll have to make those decisions. He's the one putting these people in positions of power. I think we should take it seriously, because they certainly, I'm talking about Kash Patel, but others in the Justice Department, in Trump's Justice Department, potentially, they are taking it seriously.
Yeah, that is Michael Warren, of course, on, I think he was on CNN this weekend talking about the fact that, well, you know, Donald Trump said he's not going to go after the members of the J6 committee, but Warren seems to think that he's just going to appoint people who will, so he can say that he's not doing it personally.
Cheney was behind it, well, and so was Benny Thompson and everybody on that committee.
We're going to,
for what they did,
yeah.
Honestly, they should go to jail.
There you have it. I think they should go to jail, but I'm not going to do it. But if Kash Patel wants to look into it, maybe he should. Liz Cheney is like, that would not be constitutional. You can't do that. She's kind of hedging her bets there.
How are they going to do this? What's the military going to do?
Well, first of all, when you're talking about military assets being used, that's only in an extreme last resort.
Thank you, Byron Donalds. I love this guy. I wish there was a position for him somewhere in the Trump administration, but they probably can't risk losing him out of the House of Representatives right now, setting him straight on whether or not the military is really going to be called in to raid people's houses. Of course they're not. All right, that is Styx, if you recognize it, and Styx is coming to the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater August 22nd. And we are fortunate enough to be able to give a pair of tickets away. Kevin Cronin of REO is going to be with them. REO won't be there, but Kevin Cronin of REO will be
REO
there.
Yeah, REO is no longer an entity.
So Kevin's coming solo.
So I'm assuming he sings all the REO stuff.
Absolutely.
Well, of course he does.
What Kevin Cronin solo songs do you know?
None. Does Kevin still sound good? Is he still hitting it?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And his son is there also, usually.
A lot of those bands are bringing in younger people to hit the high notes, right?
Absolutely.
That's what they have to do. All right. Let's give a pair of tickets away. What do you think? How about let's start off, since it's the 9th, let's start off with caller number 9 calling in this morning, and you will win the tickets. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. You got a pair of tickets to Styx for August 22nd out at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. So good luck to you. We'll give away a pair every day this week. And maybe next time we'll play some REO music.
We have them all week, so.
Yeah, that's true. We'll have lots of options. Good luck to you. And thanks for playing. We appreciate that. I want to get back for just a minute to that Michael Warren statement. They went to the trouble of reading a statement from Liz Cheney. Adam Kinzinger claims he's not worried about this. Liz Cheney's claim is that the FBI or the Justice Department would have no ability to go after members of Congress on a committee who were investigating the president. She says that's like a separation of powers issue. I'm not sure she's right about that, because the question here was whether or not evidence was destroyed. So it's what's pretty obvious from the J6 committee reports and what's come out since is that they cherry-picked the very worst situations they could find from January 6th, where indeed there were acts of violence that were committed against Capitol police officers by a very limited number of people. And those are the ones they focused on, and they tried to draw some conclusion that Donald Trump caused that. Silly season, nobody with any common sense or line of reasoning could draw that conclusion other than a handful of people who went into this with the intent of finding Donald Trump guilty of doing something wrong. And then there are files that don't exist anymore, and why is that? Well, nobody seems to be able to answer that. So the CNN question of this Michael Warren, who's an attorney, was, should they be worried? And he thinks that Liz Cheney's wrong and that they should be worried.
There's a part where he says, my retribution will be success. When the economy is great, when everything is going so much better, when I've set things up, I don't care about the past. And just a few minutes later, the clip that you just played, he's putting into place, or he hopes to put into place, people like Kash Patel, who, if you listen to what they've said on podcasts and interviews and these sorts of things, they certainly view retribution against specifically the January 6th committee, specifically against the FBI. They view that the FBI has overreached their bounds going after Donald Trump specifically. They're serious about it. Donald Trump may say, they'll have to make those decisions. He's the one putting these people potentially in positions of power.
Yeah. So his concern is that, well, he'll just say he's not doing it. But, I mean, somebody needs to look into whether or not evidence was destroyed by members of Congress, because they didn't want anything that might exonerate the people they were going after to get out there. You got to think Tucker Carlson did the most damage to him by releasing all of those hours of video that show nothing going on and people just walking through like tourists. And some of those people went to jail for that. It was really ridiculous. Hopefully the majority of them get pardoned on day one of the new Trump administration. All right, a quick break. We have got real or fake news coming up other side of this break. Bottom of the hour, we'll talk about how seriously do school districts take your child's private information. Apparently not as serious as they could. We'll cover that coming up.
We are fighting the fake news.
Real or fake?
Fake. Phony. Fake.
News quiz.
It is time for the real or fake news quiz. My name is Carl, and every week at this time, I give the people in the studio headlines, and they have to tell me if they are real or fake. Mark Cox, you were not here last week because of...
Oh, I was on a little vacation last week, Carl.
You were in the process of getting sick.
When I still felt good.
And so it was Ethan and Kim, head-to-head.
Yes.
Kim St. Ange pulled out.
Okay.
Ahead. Because
he's got to win one every once in a while.
Well, no. Ethan kept it close for a long time, and then he doubted himself. And also from last week, someone wanted to know about what my source was about the, well, you both did, of course, but someone wanted to know my source of the most drinking city in St. Louis, and that was Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Mark, what would you say the for the day before Thanksgiving, the city that parties the hardest?
In the greater St. Louis area?
No, in Missouri.
In Missouri.
Oh, I would think St. Louis. Why?
It's Cape Girardeau.
I thought maybe Columbia because of Mizzou.
Huh.
It's Cape because of Cape. And that's from Mothers Against Drunk Driving. So that was my source on that.
Okay. Well.
So, Kim, we're going to do, since it's the holidays, we're going to do a lot of holiday stuff today.
Okay.
But not solely. Since you are a leader, we will begin with you. Real or fake, this holiday season, Gen Z has a new dating trend called sledging. Real or fake?
Real.
Ethan Bright.
What's the trend? What is it? Can you tell us that part? Like, what's
real
sledging?
Or fake? This holiday
fake.
Season, Gen Z.
Whoa, I didn't ask a follow-up question and then answer.
Sorry.
Mark Cox.
Kim seemed very confident in her answer, so I'm going to say that's real.
Did you read the story, Kim?
No.
It's sledging, which is staying together in a toxic relationship, pulling them along on a sled until the holidays are over, and then breaking up.
Well, isn't that nice?
Oh, nice.
It's not. It's
So it's real.
It's real.
Okay.
So they'll be in all the family photos, and then they're going to go away after December?
No, you know they're going to go away, you're the one who says, hey, would you mind taking this picture?
Just one moment. Hey, can you take this for the family?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ethan, let's see if you can redeem yourself. Real or fake?
I can't.
Missouri residents lose more than $400 per scam on Black Friday. Everyone that is scammed loses about $400. Real or fake?
I'm going to go fake.
Mark Cox.
I'm going with fake.
I'll say fake.
It is real. If you are scammed and you're a Missouri resident, you lose approximately $433. So, sorry. Please don't get scammed.
That's ridiculous.
You know people that have gotten scammed before.
Not on a holiday scam. I mean, a holiday scam to me is you're on Facebook and you see some really funny Trump sweater and you try to order it and you pay for it and then it never shows up. But that's $30. That's not $450.
Wouldn't this include you're clicking on some link of some company, some phony company?
I'm waiting for it. Go ahead.
And buying
it.
And then it gives all your personal information. I didn't say what you're thinking I'm going to say, Mark.
I did.
Chicken crap.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, also the dinosaur tooth on Facebook Marketplace, which is not real. Okay, go ahead, Carl.
Mark Cox, real or fake? Last week, Americans spent more than $13 billion on Cyber Monday. Real or fake?
That is fake news, Carl.
Kim St. Ange.
I'll say real.
Ethan Bright.
Go on fake one more time.
Kim's the only one getting any of these right. It's correct. They spent $13.3 billion.
Wasn't that a new record?
Yes.
Why is every year a new record? For travel, for spending?
Because there are more people in the world every year. That's
Except why. People don't want to have children.
Yeah, it's true.
That's true.
Are they spending it on themselves?
Probably that. People. That's the change. They're spending it more on themselves.
Kim St. Ange, real or fake, the highest Christmas song on Billboard right now is Jingle Bell Rock. Real or fake?
Fake.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to go true.
Fake.
It is fake. Of course, it's Mariah Carey.
Mariah Carey, yeah. Of course it is.
As it should be.
Who Carl just saw in St. Louis.
I did. Ethan Bright, real or fake? On Black Friday, a New Jersey man woke up on the top of a Home Depot, blames bad beer. Real or fake?
True.
Mark Cox?
I'll go real.
I'll say real.
Fake. I made that up.
You guys have not learned I've missed everyone so far. And you are still going after me.
Mark Cox, real or fake? More Missouri residents have a real Christmas tree in their home than a fake one. Real or fake? About real or fake?
I'd say that's real.
Kim St. Ange.
Fake.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to go fake.
It's true.
I don't believe that.
It is true.
Well, who's your source?
Who's my source?
I know like one person who has a real Christmas tree. We had one growing up, but no one gets real Christmas trees anymore.
Well, you also chased lobsters around on the floor.
Well, I'm not ashamed of that.
Did some weird dance.
No, we gave them a nice last moment of life.
Real
Mark,
or
they got to
fake,
dance around.
Kim St. Ange. Real or fake, Missouri's favorite boozy Christmas drink is Christmas punch.
Whatever that is, sure.
Ethan
real.
Wright.
Gonna go fake.
I'm going fake on that.
It is real.
Ah.
Therefore, Kim St. Ange is our winner. Missouri's favorite drink is Christmas punch.
Which is what?
Who determined that? Nobody's ever offered me any Christmas punch.
Well, let's find out what it is. Maybe it has another name we've all heard of.
No,
I didn't
know what it was. anything that is like a punch that you have. Illinois is eggnog.
So it's punch with booze added in. It's
yes,
Christmas
basically.
Punch because it's around Christmas time.
That's, yeah.
Got
I thought that was sus also. But I
Thanksgiving punch. Easter punch.
It's gravy with beer.
Yeah. Well, all right. Coming up, we'll get to more on your child's personal privacy at school. And how some school districts may need to tighten down on that. We'll be right back. Well, you might assume that when your kid goes to school that the school district does not share their personal information with anyone, but that may not always be the case. And we certainly run across a situation like that out in the Wentzville School District. And Renee Henke is one of the board members out there and pointed this out to me. I saw her post on Facebook about it. And Renee, welcome into the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So somebody used the Missouri Sunshine Law and got what kind of information on students?
Correct. They asked for all 6th through 12th grade male students, their name, address, what school they attend, what grade they are in. They also asked for their GPA and the parent's name, but those two items were not shared with this organization. They did say that that was protected under FERPA, but I am confused how the students' private information wasn't covered under FERPA.
No, right. I mean, that's pretty. Who's the organization? I mean, could anyone come to a school district that doesn't have a rule against it and ask for that information?
Yeah, it's more about the fact that it happened, not what organization it is. And I don't want to, you know, give them any props or
anything. Okay.
But it's a big problem that districts are, they can give out student information. We're still looking into it. Jen and I have been looking into this to see if we can get a policy, you know, so she has drafted a policy and she's been checking with lawyers to make sure that we're staying within the bounds of the law to protect our students' private information. You know, this should not have happened. And I know other school districts do have policies to where they at minimum notify the parent and give the parent the opportunity to say, don't share my kid's private information.
I would think most parents would want that. In fact, I thought I read here in your Facebook post, Renee, that you did try to bring this out, this opt-out policy. And what happened there at the board meeting when you tried to bring that up?
Correct. Last October, so October of 2023, that did come up. I asked for that to be put on the agenda for the meeting, and we discussed it. And it just seemed that the other board members did not want it just because I brought it up. And they kept trying to twist it into saying that I am trying to break the law here by saying that we need an opt-out policy. But this is how we protect our students' data and their private information is through policy. And that's what we need. And we also need legislators to help us to back this up. So I've already been in contact with Nick Schroer, and he did say that he's going to draft legislation this week for this exact item. And so I hope that he can get support with that and we can get this moving to protect our kids' data.
Well, they're minors. I mean, I don't know why this is even an issue. It strikes me that regardless of the motivation of the company or the organization that's seeking the information, they're minors. And I guess, I understand and respect the Sunshine Law to find out what's going on behind the scenes and transparency and all of that. This strikes me as the only reason somebody would want that is to try to sell something to your family or your kid. I mean, is that what they were after?
Yes. I think they're just looking for, more members to their organization. Huh. But there are other ways to go about that. And yes, it is absolutely about protecting our minor students' private information.
But what would stop What would stop a predator from wanting to access that information if they realized that was available to them? I think about as having worked for a TV station for many years. Inmates who are minors have more protection than these students do because you're not given their picture, their name, or anything.
Exactly. And another example of that is this past January, we received bomb threats and it ended up being a minor. And we were told that we couldn't even have that minor's information because of FERPA. And here they're giving our students information out now, you know, to just anybody. So this has got to change. We have got to protect their information.
Yeah. We don't know what happened with this particular list that was given out,
right?
The info. You have no idea once it's gone how it's being used.
Right. And they, since it's now been made public, so once you do a Sunshine Law request, that information is then public. So that organization can then share out that data as well. So I don't know if they're going to keep it just to themselves, if they're going to share it out, you know, that. I find this a big problem. And like you all are saying, too, you know, of course, I did think about the worst, you know, that maybe they want to hurt the students. I this is a really big problem. I was very upset when I saw that Sunshine request come in, and I want to make sure the parents know.
Well, I appreciate you doing that. Renee Henke is our guest with the Wentzville School Board. What has the superintendent had to say about this, if anything? Do they care?
I think he does care, and he did check with legal, and that was the legal advice, is that we can give out the student information. We don't have a policy currently, and the Sunshine Law does not cover the disclosure of minor private information, and so those are the things that need to be fixed. I mean, personally, I would have told the company, you know, no, you can't have it, and you can sue me for it, you know, but... So it's something that we're going to have to do through legislation and policy. I mean, the short term is get a policy passed to protect their information and at minimum notify parents and give them the opportunity to say, don't give my kids information out.
Well, and it would take something happening legislatively with, say, what Nick Schroer plans to draft in order for all school districts to have to follow this. Because how often has this happened elsewhere?
Right. And I know that it has happened with other school districts, and then that did prompt them to draft a policy. So it's happening. And so I think it's a district level thing, but it is also a legislative level thing as well.
That's true. Renee, what's the action item here? I mean, if your parents in the Wentzville School District, you have a meeting coming up, you have one more meeting this year, right?
Correct. Yep. On the 19th. So I would encourage parents to email their principal and just say that they would like to opt their student out of directory information sharing, and then they will help them get the form that they need to fill out.
And then also, if you're passionate about it, show up to the board meeting and voice your support. I mean, during the public speaking portion.
Exactly. Yeah. We have diminishing support. So getting people to come and support us would be great. And especially with something like this, you know, people need to speak out.
Well, I hope they do. And I appreciate you drawing this people's attention to it, because it certainly shocked me when I wouldn't even have thought that was a thing. But it is, clearly. And the districts can impact that with just a policy change, and I would hope more of them would look at it. Renee, thank you, and happy holidays to you. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Talk to you later.
All right. Talk to you soon. Appreciate that. That was not even on my radar. I never would have thought about it, that my kids' information would just be turned over to some outside organization.
That's the most concerning part to me, is how many predators would be able to use this. I don't know how many of them would even know how to, you know, do something related to the Sunshine Law, but the fact is they could, and get access to the child's name, address,
mailing address,
the building they're in. So if they're looking to target and harm somebody, they would even know which building they're in.
Yeah, you hate to default to worst case scenario, but...
You plan for the worst and you hope for the best.
Thank you. As a parent, how do you not default to the worst scenario there? If you're asked the question, does my school district have a policy on this? Regardless of what district you're in, you should be asking that. Coming up, Kim, what are we whimming about today?
Well, with yesterday being Sunday and the show, of course, not on the air because it's the weekend, Mark, we missed a really, really important day. And our federal government, the Department of Health and Human Services, wanted to make sure we all could celebrate. So here coming up in a few minutes, we're going to celebrate.
I can't wait to find out about the very last day we'll be celebrating this because January 20th is coming. We'll be right back.
Kim on a whim.
I just wanted to take a moment to celebrate a really big holiday that we happen to miss because it fell on a Sunday, which of course means the show is not on the air, and that is Pansexual and Panromantic Pride Day. Would not have known about this until our federal government, the Department of Health and Human Services, decided to post about it, and here's the post. Today on Pansexual and Panromantic Pride Day, everyone deserves to feel seen, respected, and supported no matter who they love. Create a world where everyone feels proud to be themselves. Now, you might be asking, like I did, what is panromantic? I had never even heard of that.
Pansexual.
I've heard of pansexual. I'd never heard of panromantic. And what is the difference? Panromantic says you're romantically attracted to people of all gender identities, regardless of their biological sex. Because people think there are about 70 genders nowadays, so I guess you're attracted to all of them. This says the main difference between panromantic and pansexual is that panromantic people are romantically attracted to others, regardless of gender, while pansexual people are sexually attracted to others regardless
of
gender.
Wait. What? So you don't have to romance them, you just want to have sex with
them?
I'm
not sure really what the difference... If you're romantically attracted to someone or you're sexually attracted to someone, what is the difference? Can romantically attracted mean you just are interested in having an emotional relationship with them?
I don't think any of them want just an emotional relationship, do they?
I don't know. I'm not understanding all of these new terms and the meanings. I can't keep up with them. And, you know, there was a video that caught my attention over the weekend, and it was Tim Walz's daughter, Hope. And she was talking about how she has this litmus test. She and her girlfriends look for a few things, I guess, when they're on the dating websites and they start interacting with a guy they're interested in. There's one thing she says that's an automatic, nope, we're done. Carl, can you play that clip for us?
A litmus test for me and my friends for like years now has been if the guy we're talking to follows Joe Rogan on Instagram, they're a red flag and we should probably stop talking to them. And the times when they do follow him on Instagram and we haven't stopped talking to them, which was in the past, obviously, it's never ended well. So, yeah, I just want to say that I stand by that. It's literally never failed us.
Literally? Now, thank goodness I'm not in the dating scene anymore. But if I were, my litmus test would be if you were posting about pansexual and panromantic pride day. I just wanted to celebrate because I want everyone to feel seen. So I actually brought Prosecco. Now, Mark, I don't know if this is going to do much for your frog in your throat, but I really did bring Prosecco. I just felt like we needed to celebrate. We didn't get to celebrate yesterday on the actual day, and I just felt... He's watching me actually pour it. I'm not kidding.
I thought you were kidding.
No.
I thought you were kidding.
I really have it.
So back to what is pansexuality. Is it different than being bi?
The difference is that I think bi... It probably would be viewed as offensive now because bi, meaning two, would acknowledge there's only two genders, and that's just not acceptable anymore. So if you say pan, that encompasses all the genders that many people on the left believe exist.
All in a pan and mix them up? I mean, I'm just trying to get to where they came up with some of these words.
I'm going to bring you over your Prosecco.
And then there's something called polysexuality. I don't know if you've heard of that or not. You have to take your headphones off before you walk away from your microphone.
This is like when you're at the gas tank and you forget to take the pump out of the car.
Yes.
Like that moment for me.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Here, Carl.
So there's something called pansexuality, which is the attraction to a person regardless of their gender. And there can be, according to some of these whack jobs, 72 genders, right?
Oh my gosh.
And polysexuality is the attraction to people of many, but not all of those genders.
I'd like to know what the 72 genders are.
So where do you draw the line? Well, but where do you draw the line?
I,
It's like the 72 virgins. It's just like...
You draw the line at male and female. God created them male and female. They're not assigned at birth.
No, but I mean for the people with the mental issues who think they're polysexual because they're attracted to many but not all of the genders, aren't they discriminating? I mean, shouldn't they be left out of the group?
You'd think so.
I don't understand that.
You hear that actress who played Jackie on Oppenheimer just came out as trans masculine and non-binary this week and is now going to go by they them instead of she her. So would trans masculine be considered a gender along with non-binary? So that's two of the 72 genders. I'd like to see a list of these. I'm going to Google this.
Here's my hope is that on January 20th, I know it won't be a top priority for the president. Can we do away with some of this garbage? There's got to be something weird like this every day of the year now. I'll guarantee you one thing. We won't be lighting the White House up in pride colors anymore, for sure.
I have a list.
Okay.
I can't read them all. I don't have time for that, but here's a couple. Biogender, having a gender that is closely related to nature. Bigender, having two gender identities at the same or different times. Boyflux, the person identifies themselves as male, but they experience varying degrees of male identity. This may range from feeling agender to completely male. Burst gender, B-U-R-S-T, burst gender. Frequent bursts of intense feelings quickly move to the initial calm stage. What? I've never even heard of these. Have you?
I have not heard of any of those and don't care to because those are... terms that should be used in a asylum somewhere.
Aerogender. This gender identity changes according to one's surroundings.
Oh my gosh. All right, so you've been informed this morning on all the stuff that really doesn't matter anyway because it's all made up. Just so you know that. Coming up, we'll talk to Jesse Jane Duff about the Pete Hegseth nomination and also Tom Ackerman on that huge win by the Mizzou Tigers this weekend. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.